I am Mark Dunley with the Green Education Legal Fund, and we're here today for a press conference on the OFF Act for 100% renewable energy by 2030 and a halt to new fossil fuel projects.
We're trying to get support for the OFF Fossil Fuels Act. We want the legislature, when they negotiate their climate bill, to say a halt to fossil fuels and to go to 100% renewable energy by 2030. And we're going to start off with our lead sponsor, Assemblymember Bill Colton.
Look, what we are saying here and the message we have to get across is that we have an emergency.
Yes.
And a lot of people will agree that, yes, we have to get onto clean energy. We've got to get off fossil fuels. But the problem is, do we have the time to do it? Because if we don't do it before the disastrous impacts of climate change come upon us, it's going to be an emergency Band-Aid situation. You know, we won a victory in terms of the state ruling on the Williams pipeline. These are incremental victories because there are other pipelines that are going to be showing up. There's going to be more of these problems coming. And the problem that we face is that we have to deal with it in a way that deals with some of the fears of those who are opposed to it. So there's a fear of a loss of job. The bill that I have sets up a procedure to deal with those issues. There's a fear that there's going to be unaffordable energy, that the cost is going to go way up. The things that I have in my bill deals with that before they happen. And this is why this approach is so important and why it's important to be done now, not to wait a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, because it gets more and more difficult to solve this problem before we feel the impacts if we wait. There's some movement now in terms of solar energy on the state, which had not happened for a long time. But the problem is we can't afford just to take incremental steps. We have to implement a policy, a new direction in the state, and we have to do it before the effects of climate change come upon us and make us in a position where it's done on an emergency basis, where a lot of the different communities, a lot of the environmental justice communities, a lot of the labor communities, a lot of the people are disastrously affected by the changes that will then become necessary. We're basically saying that we have an emergency, and when you have an emergency, you have to deal with it on the basis of an emergency. And that is not only to achieve the goal of 100% renewable energy by 2030, but to put in there the methods that we are going to have to use to do that in a smooth, efficient way, not an emergency basis way. We're going to be able to resolve a lot of the fears, a lot of the concerns, a lot of the negative impacts if a whole industry is converted, but we're going to be able to implement clean energy in a way that will save us from the disastrous impacts that climate change is already bringing on us. They don't always see the impacts. You know, sometimes it might be a little rainy, more than usual. It might be a little colder, a little warmer. The real problem is what it is doing to our environment and what it is doing to our planet. The insects that are going to be extinct because of those changes. The food sources that are not going to be available because of that. The water problems, the flood problems that we're going to have, that's going to come suddenly. And if it comes, it may be too late to reverse it without emergency Band-Aid measures, which are not the measures that we need to take. We have to plan in advance, deal with our labor issues, deal with our environmental justice community issues, deal with the planning that will make us be able to have a smooth transition to 100% renewable energy without all the disastrous negative impacts.
Next, we have a statement from Senator Addabbo, the Senate sponsor of the bill.
As a Senate sponsor of the OFF fossil fuels legislation, Senator Addabbo is very grateful for your support of this proposal to fundamentally change how we ultimately power our homes, our businesses, our transportation systems, and ultimately our entire economy. Achieving the goal of a 100% clean energy system in New York by 2030 will be a daunting task, but he strongly believes it is one we must undertake. As we admittedly controversial climate scientist Gus McPherson has said, if you think the economic is more important than the environment, try holding your breath while counting your money. This is not to say that protecting our environment and maintaining a healthy economy are mutually exclusive. If we move forward with our All Fossil Fuels Act, we will be creating new and meaningful jobs in the green and clean energy business sector, while providing a pathway to new careers for those now employed in New York fossil fuels and nuclear industry. Plus, we will have the ultimate benefit of purer air, cleaner water, and a healthier environment for all of us all. Since Senator Addabbo is the representative of Southern Queens District that was particularly devastated by Hurricane Sandy in 2012, he is deeply aware of the dangers of the climate change and the challenges of our changing environment posed throughout us in New York. On a related note, Senator Addabbo was pleased to co-sponsor the Williams Pipeline planned for just off the Rockaway Peninsula. In this district, he has rejected, at least for now, that Senator Dodd believes it would endanger communities that are still struggling almost 7 years later to recover from Sandy. The Senator and I thank you for your support of the Off Fossil Fuels Act, and he looks forward to working with the Assemblyman Colton and all the interested individuals to move this important legislation forward.
My name is Merton Simpson. I'm Albany County Legislator for the 2nd District, which includes Arbor Hill, West Hill, Washington Park, and Sheridan Hollow. Sheridan Hollow is a community in which a power plant that's been in effect from 1911 has been proposed to include frac gas generators by Governor Cuomo. Our community has experienced tremendous toxicity, large numbers of families, whole families, five members, contracting exotic forms of cancer. For them to propose in this day and age a burden on a community that's already been overburdened doesn't lead us to be sanguine about whether we're going to achieve our goals. My personal fear is if we had a global commitment today to do the right thing, it might not be enough. We are so far from a global agreement as to what can be done. We have somebody in the White House who's an antediluvian accusing climate change of being some kind of a Chinese hoax.
We hear next from Sandy Steuben of People of Albany United for Safe Energy.
I'd like to talk a little bit about reasonableness and incrementalism, because we're in a situation now where business as usual cannot go on. And the facts are that according to the UN IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change, we have to lower our global greenhouse gases by 45% off of the 2010 levels by 2030. And if we don't do that, then we're into catastrophic runaway climate change. Now take that fact and compare it to last year. In 2018, we went up globally by 2.7% of greenhouse gas emissions. Therefore, the incrementalism and reasonableness of how we do business just cannot be applied. We've got 11 years, according to the IPCC, and they're a conservative bunch of scientists. I mean, scientists by nature are conservative. They don't want to lose their credibility. But every time the IPCC comes out with a report, it's much more disastrous than the previous report. So we may have until 2030, or we may not have till 2030. But we're still in this little timeline where we can get the climate back. We can get it back from 415 carbon parts per million back down to 350, which is the safe level. It's going to be millions and millions of deaths. It's going to be wildfires and a disaster a day. Wildfires, droughts, floods. Our children and our grandchildren are the ones who are going to really be in a disaster, like these young people that we have today. As I read from my dear friend Howie Hawkins, if we come up with a lesser plan than the OFF Act, we need this OFF Act because it's so aggressive. If we come up with a lesser plan, it's like trying to land safely with half a parachute.
I'm Nadia Tell, and I'm 13 years old. We are here to ask why we can't do this already. We know that there are fears about this, but those can be addressed. If you listen to what our previous speakers have said, we know what to do about these fears. For some reason, we are still not doing anything. We need to get this passed, because if we don't, children these days, we don't We can't think about our futures because it would give us nightmares every night. If we think about our futures, we don't know what we can do. We need to get this passed so we can know what we can do with our lives. Thank you.
This has been Mark Dunley, and thanks for Pete Looker for his recording.